It's great to see you back again this evening. It's a privilege to worship together and to study from the pages of God's Word, and knowing that His Word is completely reliable, that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these apostles and prophets spoke the Word of God inerrantly and recorded these words for us to guide us in our path and help us to find our way to God eternally in heaven. In the book of Proverbs, at the 20th Proverb at verse 6, Solomon makes this observation. He says, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" When you read that, it sounds as though Solomon is having a bit of a crisis in his life. Maybe a little bit discouraged about the fact that there were so many who had made promises and grandiose statements about their loyalty to him, who nonetheless proved themselves to be untrustworthy and disloyal. And so he asked the question, who can find a trustworthy man? When Hosea spoke to the sons of Israel, he approached the topic of their faithfulness as though God were the judge and they were on trial, and it was a courtroom situation and evidence was to be presented. And as he did that, he presented his case against them, and the evidence was an evidence that had to do not with the presence of particular vices or sins, but the absence of particular virtues. He said in Hosea 4 verse 1, "There is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." That was the Lord's case against his people. So many times we are prone to think in terms of, well, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. I've avoided this sin and that sin, and so I'm faithful to God. And that is important, but sometimes we also need to look at the other side of the ledger and ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are the things that we are known for and the works that we are following after? And so I think we need a greater understanding about the matter of faithfulness. A few moments ago, one of our shepherds prayed in regard to being faithful. And as we think about this new year, we have, first of all, at the end of last year, we mentioned something to offer. The idea that we are priests, and one of the qualifications or essentials of a priest that is that a priest must have something to offer. Jesus is our great high priest in that he offered his life for our sins. And we are priests, a spiritual priesthood. Often the scripture speaks about that, particularly in the book of 1 Peter and in other places. And as a priest, we need to have something to offer. And so we spent some time on that a couple of weeks ago. And then this morning, as we kind of continued some of that thought in a little different direction, we talked about the sacrifice of Jesus in looking at John chapter 18, the first 11 verses. And in that section, we picked out five characteristics of a Christ-like sacrifice. He offered up his life as a fragrant aroma to the Father, and we are following in his footsteps, and we need to offer to God a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1. And that living sacrifice, as we mentioned this morning, it needs to be a sacrifice that exhibits on our part courage and power and surrender and love and obedience. Those are characteristics of a Christ-like sacrifice, and that's what we need to have in our lives. But when we talk about faithfulness, that's really where we're going in that regard. To be faithful to God as His people has to do with presenting to Him our lives in a way that is faithful, in a way that does glorify His name. And so sometimes I think we need a little more teaching or understanding about the subject of faithfulness, because sometimes we do measure things with the wrong standards. We tend to look at things in perspective in reference to size or in reference to numbers as the gauge of our faithfulness, whether or not we are faithful to God. And while numbers are important because numbers represent souls, and our emphasis on setting goals and reaching goals requires some kind of measurement of those goals in our life and the life of the church. It is not the case that numbers alone tell the story completely. And if it were the case, then when numbers begin to fluctuate, as they generally do, and numbers go down, as they sometimes do, we become discouraged and sometimes even are tempted to give up. We need to remember that the Apostle Paul said, "Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything." But of course he said, "But God who causes the growth." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. And in that reference, we might mention a fellow by the name of Noah and ask ourselves, was he a success? We say, well, in some manner of speaking, yes, he was a success. We all owe our existence to the fact that God found favor with that one man called Noah. And as a result of him, the human race was preserved, and that the flood came upon the world of the ungodly, but he himself and his descendants were saved. We say that he was a success because there, along with so many other heroes of faith, he is mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He built the ark by faith. He trusted God. He did what God told him to do, and he was faithful. And yet, from a standpoint of numbers, Peter even mentions Noah, saying there were eight souls safely brought through the water. So it was Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight souls all together. And just so far as we know, and so far as the biblical record tells us, he had no influence on the rest in the world so as to get them into the safety of the ark. So we need to look at faithfulness a little bit closer, I think, and determine what it is, and determine how we can benefit from it, how we can develop it in our lives more completely. Because when it's all said and done, it's a matter that's very important to us, to be faithful to God. And so we begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, where the Apostle Paul clearly spells it out, saying, "In this case," he says, "it is required that stewards that one be found faithful." A steward, a servant of the Lord, must be faithful. And God's eyes are eyes that are all wise and all knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12. "Before a word is on our tongue, behold, he knows it all together." Psalm 139. "He is a God of infinite wisdom, presence, and power." And when he looks over his kingdom, across the kingdom, will he find us to be faithful? That's ultimately what we really want to know. Now Jesus, speaking to the church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, said, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now there in that context, I believe he's talking about faithfulness even to the point of death. Be faithful. This short period of persecution is coming your way, but you hang in there, even if it means the loss of your life. Be faithful. But I think it also, in principle, is taught throughout Scripture that we must be faithful until the end, that we must be faithful all of our lives. We can't give up when we're within reach of the goal line. We need to strive forward like the sprinter or the runner who puts on a little extra effort when they're within reach of that finish line. And so we need to be faithful until the end, and we will receive the crown of life. So I want to ask three questions tonight about faithfulness, and I hope that these will be helpful to us. I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop. I'm talking to men and women and young people who are devoted to God, loyal to God, faithful to God. But, you know, in each of our lives, there are temptations. There are discouragements. There are times in our life when maybe our faithfulness in one particular area is not as great as it ought to be. And we can be benefited by asking these questions. The first question is simply this: what is faithfulness? What is faithfulness? There would be so many different answers to that question, but some of us would scratch our head and say, well, I'm not 100% sure about that. What is faithfulness? Well, if you look up the word translated faithfulness in some versions, you might go to Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. It's one of the respected works, a multi-volume book that has nothing to do with defining words out of the original language. And when it talks about faithfulness, it puts it in these terms. It says, faithfulness describes a person who is obedient to the Lord, trustworthy in his relationships, reliable in his work, and honest in his agreements. And I thought, looking at that, that's a pretty well-grounded description of what it means to be faithful. If I were tempted to do that, you could almost take each one of those points and make each one of those statements a point in a sermon or a sermon in and of itself. Let's be faithful to God. How? By being obedient to the Lord. Let's be faithful. How? By being trustworthy to our relationships, by being reliable in our work, and by being honest in our agreements. That's faithfulness. Now, Webster defines the English word as to be full of faith, allegiance, to be loyal. It refers to constancy, irrespective of people or circumstances or pressure. Faithful person is the one whom you can count on to be who they are, to be what they are in any circumstance. Well, that's an interesting definition there. Faithfulness actually comes as a result of stewardship. It arises out of taking our stewardship seriously. How do we know that? Well, we already read in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, that it's required of stewards that one be found faithful. So if you're a steward, the responsibility is to be faithful to that stewardship. The pulpit commentary said this, stewardship implies responsibility, and responsibility demands faithfulness. Well, that's pretty simple then. You have stewardship, responsibility, faithfulness. Faithfulness derives from stewardship. God has given us something. We have the responsibility to use it faithfully to His glory. The illustration of that, of course, might be what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 44. He asked the question, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? And then he said, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. Well, the definition of stewardship then that Jesus gave is this. The faithful steward is the one whom the master finds doing, carrying out his responsibilities when he returns. So if we want to be faithful, then what that means is that we have to be carrying out our responsibility. Not just on the Sundays or Wednesdays, but through the week. Not just in our 20s or 30s, but throughout our lives. Not just in our home or familiar surroundings, but at work. Not just in our home community, but wherever we may travel. There's a constancy, regardless of people and circumstances, to be faithful in carrying out our responsibility as Christians. Well, how do you define faithfulness? I had a quotation from Wendell Winkler. He's a faithful gospel preacher who died a few years ago. Went on to his reward, a tremendous preacher. Regarding faithfulness, he said, it is not a Sunday habit, but a mindset. Faithfulness, he said, is a mindset, not a Sunday habit. And what did he mean by that? Well, when we talk about faithfulness, often we get no further than talking about a person's habits of attendance, whether they attend worship on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And while those things are important, and attendance can be a good barometer of faithfulness, that alone does not determine faithfulness. But it is an important thing, don't get me wrong. But usually we talk about brother so-and-so, and, oh, he's faithful. What do we mean? When we say, oh, that sister, she is extremely faithful. And what we mean by that is she's there every time the doors of the church are open. And so, well, he's not all that faithful. Well, he comes once a week or a couple times a month. And while those things are indicators of a heart that wants to serve God and could be a barometer of faithfulness in other ways, we have to go a little deeper than that to determine what faithfulness really is. Now, in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, when he talks about it's required of stewards that one be found faithful, you might want to go back to the verse previous to that. And there you will learn that he's been talking about himself as an apostle, also about other inspired men, prophets, and talks about them as being servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And he says then, it's required of stewards to be found faithful. He's saying that as an apostle, as a prophet, having been given the mysteries of the gospel, he's talking about the message that Christ gave them, it was important for them to be faithful in carrying out that, in preaching and proclamation of that message. And while that's true, and while it's true that they are in a special way stewards, it's also true in a somewhat lesser fashion that today's preachers ought to be thinking of themselves as being stewards of God's Word. And therefore, there's a need for studying and preparation and presenting with great care the Word of God faithfully. That's also true of our Bible class teachers. It's also true of Christians as we're seeking to share the faith with others. We want to make sure that we're sharing what is actually in the Bible and not just our own opinions. And so the need to study to show ourselves approved of by God, as the King James puts it in Paul's letter to Timothy. H.A. Ironside, a preacher from a long time ago in the denominational world, made an interesting point, though. He said the business of a steward is not to electrify people by his eloquent sermons, not to dazzle them by his wonderful ability, not to please them by flowers of rhetoric, not to so speak that he will simply be to them as a lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. But the business of a servant of Christ is to open up the truth of God, to unfold, to expound, to make known these mysteries in order that the people of God may appreciate the heritage that he has given them in the Word. And so there it is. To be a good steward of his Word means to accurately convey it. And in our world today, we've gone wild, I think, in the denominational world, sometimes even in the church, asking ourselves, what will entertain the people? What will stir their emotions in an electric kind of way, rather than simply preaching the truth and helping people to come to know God in that way? But even those who aren't preaching, maybe not teaching, there still is a stewardship that we have. I think every Christian has a stewardship. Some say, well, I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. I don't agree with that. I believe that if you had the talent or the ability to understand the gospel and to obey it, that you have some ability God has given you to use for his glory. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, the scripture says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So whatever your stewardship is, whatever your gift is that God has given you, your ability, your talent, your opportunity, we need to be faithful in that, to use it in a way that glorifies God. Being faithful, then, involves all aspects of our lives. Just as Paul said in Romans 12, to be a living sacrifice, to present to God your body as a living sacrifice. He's not limiting it to one particular area, but to your whole life. Use your life in a way that glorifies God. Be faithful. Enoch was faithful in his life, and so God took him in Genesis, the book of Genesis. Job was faithful in time of trial. Joseph was faithful in temptation. Paul was faithful even as he faced death as a martyr. And the point is this, we must be faithful in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, to use the things that God has given us in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. That's what faithfulness is. So it's more than just a Sunday habit. It's a mindset in life. Now, the second question we're going to ask is this. What are some blessings connected with faithfulness? Or we might say, why should I be faithful? If you want to talk about a personal advantage, what's in it for me? Well, I know that you're not asking that, but what are the benefits of faithfulness? That helps us to want to be faithful. The ultimate benefit of faithfulness is, of course, heaven, our eternal home. That's what we read about in Revelation 2, verse 10. Be faithful until death, and you'll receive the crown of life. And I don't know of anybody that would not take that to indicate that heaven would be our ultimate reward for faithfulness in service to Him. In the parable of the talents, Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." And then He said, "Enter into the joys," or joy, "of your master." Enter into the joy of your master. I'm thinking about that, Matthew 25, verse 21. And yes, you know, we typically refer to that as, you know, the application of that is going to heaven. Enter the joys of your master, and that's great. But even more than that, there's that sense of approval, that sense of pleasing God, which should be our ambition according to 2 Corinthians, that pleasing God, to know that in spite of our weaknesses, that in spite of the times in which we stumble, in spite of the frailties that we have in the flesh, that we can, with the strength of God and our faith in Jesus Christ, we have the ability, by His grace, one day to hear Him say, "Well done." Not because necessarily we're so great, but just because we are loyal and faithful to Him and striving to please Him in every respect. There's one day when the Lamb will overcome. The book of Revelation talks about Jesus as the victorious Lamb and says that He will have the victory. And those who are with Him, according to Revelation 17:14, are the called and the chosen and the faithful. That's an interesting study. Called, chosen, and faithful. We need to be faithful. Victory is not founded upon our human accomplishments, but upon our faithfulness to God. Heaven will not be ours because we have done a prescribed number of good deeds. Say, "Well, you know, I got to reach 10,000 and I'm only at 7,000 now. I've got a lot of work to do to get to heaven." That's not how the victory is won. Heaven will not be ours because we attended services above a certain percentile, you know, 90% or more. That would again make that a way of earning salvation. Heaven is not because we have led to Christ so many souls. And although attendance and reaching out to others and doing of good deeds is an essential part of our faith and our obedience to God, ultimately, no matter how much we have done, according to Luke chapter 17, we are but unworthy servants to have done only what we should have done. And so we depend upon Christ and the blood of Jesus and the grace of God, and realize that our responsibility is simply to be faithful, to be loyal to Him, to be obedient servants, to walk in the light. And there's a world of difference between faithfulness and perfection. If you're talking about perfection, we've all already blown that from the outset. So we need to be faithful, loyal to Him. Faithfulness involves devotion and loyalty to Christ. And it will be expressed in so many different areas of our life. But what are the benefits of it? Faithfulness gives us a sense of security. You know, if you think about it, how much security does a person have? Even if you are a church-going person, and you go to bed at night and know that really and truly, in your heart of hearts, you're not really right with God. You've turned your back on the Lord. You've wandered away from Him. How much security is in that feeling? Virtually none. Outside of Christ, there is no hope whatsoever. But on the other hand, if we're walking in the light and we are maintaining a relationship with the Lord when we sin, confessing our sins and knowing that He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, there's this sense of assurance. John speaks about being able to know that we have eternal life because of the things which are written. If we have that feeling of confidence based on the blood of Christ and what God has done for us, we can go to bed at night. If our mind is at ease, we recognize that should I never wake up again, everything's okay. That's a sense of security, a sense of confidence. In Psalm 31 and verse 23, the scripture says, "The Lord preserves the faithful." Preservation. In Proverbs 28, verse 20, "A faithful man will abound with blessings." You know, you look at the scriptures and you find this is to be the case, especially in the Old Testament, but it runs through the Bible. As a general rule of life, when we follow God and obey His will, when we're faithful to Him, there are blessings. And when we turn our back on God and rebel against His teachings and live and walk in sin, the way of the transgressor is difficult and hard. So when Solomon then, in his wisdom, being as wise as he was, says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings," that general principle is true. Now, there are times when faithful people suffer illness and adversity and difficulty in life. But as a general rule, there are blessings. And even in suffering, there are silver linings that the faithful can look to find help and strength. One of the blessings that we have is increased usefulness. Matthew 25, verse 23. In the parable of talents, Jesus said this, "You were faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things." What does that mean? If you're faithful to God and you have, let's say, your talent level is a number two, and you're faithful with that two talent, God will be pleased with your use of that two talents, and He'll give you a couple more talents. I don't know how this works out, but there's something about serving the Lord that when you use what you have, you gain more ability and more opportunity. And as you continue to be faithful, you continue to find ways to bless Him. Now, some people will look at that and say, "Well, I don't want more responsibility. I don't want more talent, so I'll just sit back and not use what I have, and I won't get any more." Well, then, of course, in the end, you'll be rejected. But if you do what He asks you to do, and you're faithful with what He has given to you, you'll be given more. And a true, loyal disciple who wants to really please the Lord, wants to please Him as much as possible. You're not going to be happy with two. You're going to be satisfied with 10. You want 100, 1,000, because you want to do everything you can to please the God who loves you as much as He does. The blessings of faithfulness, we might describe it under a general heading in John 10 and verse number 10, where Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly." The abundant life is the life of faithfulness. Jesus came to give it to us. Now, He came to provide this new and living way to the Father. He came to open up this new life that Paul spoke of in Romans 6, verse 4. And as we live that life and we function as Christians, you can only describe it as abundant living. It's not just living, it's really living. It's living now with an understanding that we're going to live forever then because of what He has done. One other question, though. This is an important one. What is faithfulness? What are the blessings of faithfulness? Now answer this question. How can I grow in faithfulness? You might be tempted to think that a person who is faithful has just been gifted with that ability. I mean, some people think that brother so-and-so, well, he's just a natural to this church business stuff. He's just kind of going to be faithful because that's just the way God made him. But I'm kind of a rebellious, cantankerous old sort of guy, you know, and it's just harder for me to be faithful. Well, we all must develop faithfulness. How do I know that? Well, in the Scriptures, in Psalm 37, verse 3, one of my favorites, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land. And then he says this, and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate. That's, you can just picture in your mind some guy pushing a plow, if he was lucky enough to have a horse or a mule, to have it pulling the plow. But he's tilling the soil, getting it ready to plant. He's cultivating. And these people with an agricultural background and mindset toward that would be saying, okay, to dwell in the land, we've got to trust God and cultivate not just the crop, but as we're cultivating the crop, we make sure we're cultivating faithfulness. And in today's world, you might be thinking about your job and the things you have to do in your job to support your family. And what you need to be thinking in terms of is, yes, I'm doing that, but as I'm doing that, am I cultivating faithfulness? And when you go to school or college or whatever, you're going to attend these classes and study your lessons and do all that's necessary to graduate and move on. But as you're doing that, you need to be cultivating faithfulness. In every walk of life and whatever you're doing in life, your goal should be to please God and to be faithful to Him. Faithful as a husband, faithful as a wife, faithful as a young person, faithful in the church, faithful in the community, faithful in every respect of life. Now, when in Psalm 78, the psalmist described the ancient Israelites as a stubborn, rebellious generation. If you study the Old Testament, particularly the Pentateuch, you'd say, yep, they certainly were stubborn and rebellious. And then he goes on to say, they were a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. God put a judgment upon them, not only for the unfaithfulness that they displayed, but for the lack of preparation toward that faithfulness, that which precipitated it. And so sometimes we think, well, you know, if I go too far, I'm going to be unfaithful and the Lord's going to punish me for that. But right now, in your present situation, you may not have reached that yet, but you have a responsibility right now to be cultivating faithfulness, to preparing your heart to become faithful in whatever happens down the road. You're responsible for that right now. And you can't wait until something happens and you get discouraged and you become unfaithful and say, oh, well, you know, it was just that problem was too great for me to handle. If you have not actually worked at developing it, you can develop faithfulness by studying God's Word, by spending time in prayer, by doing the things that God has told you to do, by fellowshipping with other Christians, by putting yourself in a company, in the surroundings, in the circumstances that promote that faithfulness, by avoiding those influences that pull us down and drag us away from spiritual thoughts and spiritual activities. Prepare your faithfulness. And then a second thing we can do to develop faithfulness is just kind of close our eyes sometimes and just kind of think about, meditate upon the faithfulness of God. Just think about how faithful He is. In the book of Lamentations, in chapter 3, verse 23, Jeremiah said, great is your faithfulness. There's even a song that out there, I don't think we sing it here, but great is your faithfulness. We may have sung it here. Great is your faithfulness. A beautiful idea about the faithfulness of God. And that statement is given in the context of God's discipline upon his people for their iniquity and their being punished by the Babylonians and taken into captivity. Yet God is faithful, positively and negatively. The psalmist proclaimed, "Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Psalm 36, verse 5. When a Christian is being tempted, he can rejoice in the faithfulness of God because 1 Corinthians 10:13 says he is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. He's going to provide that way of escape that you can handle it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, we learn that God is faithful when we're being persecuted. There in that context, he says, when that happens, when we suffer according to, because we're doing what's right, he says you need to entrust your souls to a faithful Creator in doing what's right. You can spend all your time whining and spend all your time thinking God should have done this or God should have done that. No, we just need to say, let's trust Him. He's faithful. He'll provide the way of escape. He'll give me the strength I need to handle that situation. And the faithfulness of God in forgiving us of our sins, provided we repent of those sins and confess those sins to Him. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. So when we think about cultivating faithfulness, we want to think about just being like our Father in heaven. How can we be disloyal to someone who has been so faithful to us? Every morning, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The orderliness of the created universe reminds us of the faithfulness of God. Everywhere around us, we see evidence in His creation of faithfulness reaching even to the skies. And if it were not for His faithfulness, where would we be spiritually speaking? What hope would we have when we're tempted or tried? What assurance would we have that our sins have been forgiven if God were not faithful? Suppose that God on a good day would say, "Okay, Glenn, I'll forgive that one." But then 3 days later, I'm praying for forgiveness again, and He says, "Nope. Can't do it today." How would that make us feel? God is faithful in forgiving us our sins. And being faithful and loyal and reliable to God is a reflection of our understanding of who He is. We need to be faithful to Him in every respect. The question then is, are you faithful? Are you loyal? I like that word. Can God depend on you to use what He has given to you to His glory? Are you faithful in your giving? Are you faithful in your prayer life? Do you remember Jeremiah's statement, "Will a bride forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? But my people have forgotten me days without number." Are you faithful in prayer? Are you faithful in times of temptation? Are you faithful when the others around you are ridiculing your faith? Will you stand firm in your belief and trust in God? Are you faithful as a husband, as a wife? Are you faithful as a young person? Faithfulness is a mindset. So we sung about being loyal and true to God, faithful to Him. People that talk about that sometimes aren't necessarily following through. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' went to the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. So tonight, as we think about these thoughts, let me just encourage you to think about this coming year, to look at faithfulness in maybe a little different light. Yes, we need to be faithful in our attendance. We need to be faithful in various aspects of our worship and in our responsibilities as members of the Lord's church. But I want you to think about the areas of your life in which greater faithfulness is required and begin cultivating that. Make this a year where we grow more faithful to God as individual Christians and as a congregation of the Lord's people. Just focus on using what He's given us to His glory. If you need the prayers of the church or we can help you with that, any aspect of your life, or if you need to obey the gospel, we're going to be singing a song of invitation, and we invite you to come, even now as we stand and as we sing.